Due to the graphic nature of this program, because Matt's going to talk a lot of shit about movies, yeah, welcome to the fucking podcast, bitches. I'm back!
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I like you.
They're coming to get you.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hello, and welcome again to another edition of Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants, the podcast where we talk about weird shit, alien shit, true crime shit, and just talk shit in general. This is Zach, as always. Joining me are Matt and
Lynn. Hello.
And special guest, the Todd. Gang's all here. Yeah. You got his backup mic right there. How's everybody doing?
Oh, dude, great. Crystal, once again, I think I said on the live that Crystal was supposed to be.
Was your fucking Misfits shirt dirty again? Is that what it is?
Technical difficulties with things at her shop where she's expanding the shop.
Let's just be honest. She's afraid to be in a digital room with me.
I who think is, she has a crush on you, so I,
is
I,
bullshit. I feel it. No. Nobody has a crush on this, bro. No one. No one. I can't stand to see the reflection of my own face in my screen on my phone when I'm watching porn trying to masturbate.
Easy.
I'm like, oh, no.
Easy.
We just say due to the graphic violence.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. And ladies, please pay no attention to my asshole brother, for he knows not what he does.
Lindy was about ready to do, what's my line, Zach?
No, that's your line.
What's my line, Clark? What's my line?
Yep.
Matt, what are we talking about today?
I was going to do the true story of The Conjuring, because I kind of like that movie.
It's a good one.
I think I like the second one a little better. The third one, not a big fan of.
Not so much.
I knew that. I actually knew that story before.
So what
that
you're saying is you got a thing for nuns. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, that's not. No, I don't. I knew the story for the third one, and then they just got so Hollywooded with it. I mean, so the other ones, they changed some shit. Like, and this one is like, James Wan wanted to keep it. He wanted it to be PG-13. So he cut a bunch of the stuff out.
Yeah.
I still don't think he got a PG-13. So he added some stuff back in, but he still didn't follow the exact story. And then who knows how real this is, but this is what I got from
the
oldest daughter that lived there. So,
well, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
That's what they told my boy at school. Are we going to do Hear No Evil?
Was waiting for somebody to catch on.
I think Lindy was the only one at first. And then I was like, no. Because I'm going to speak it. I'm covering my mouth.
There we go. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, some of the things that I thought was cool about this story happened before the movie even takes place. It's like things that happened to this family. It was almost like the oldest daughter is the one that, and I'm going to flip back and forth because I had watched so many documentaries of this lady, Andrea Perry.
You need to name the family first.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to.
And by the way, spoilers. If you haven't seen this movie yet, spoilers.
If you've never seen
The Conjuring,
you just should have.
Well,
like, or maybe you're a couple hundred years past your. There's no more spoilers. If you haven't heard everything about this movie ever, that's your own fault. Living in a bubble somewhere.
But I gotta tell you, Roger. In the movie, they said he was a over the road trucker, but I think in real life he was an on the road salesman.
Yeah.
And to have a wife and five kids, yeah, you'd have to stay sane. There's no way.
No. Not just five kids. five daughters.
Yeah, five daughters. Five daughters and a wife. I don't know how big the house. I mean, I do know
it
how
wasn't
big the
house enough.
Was, but it wasn't big enough.
It wasn't big enough. It's
like,
no.
You need a bathroom apiece, at least a bedroom apiece, and then like a front room apiece for all those girls.
I suddenly just realized why I've been divorced twice. I had a daughter with both of them, and I couldn't handle it. So it was like, I can deal with two of you. I'll keep the kids. The wife's got to go.
I can handle it. I'll take the girls. You're out. It's got to go.
It ain't easy being green, man. That's all I can say.
So, okay. Okay, so in 1960...
Hockey pads and hockey sticks, bud.
There we go. 1964, they lived in Cumberland, Rhode Island. They had a house, and that's about a half an hour away from the house that they would end up living in.
Right.
So things were fine at this time. In 1969, they got a puppy, which was an African Basenji?
Which yes. Is, they don't bark.
No. Yeah, it's you know a cute that? Puppy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they don't? Well, they do not. Incapable?
They do not bark.
Hmm.
So it's a. It's
there was a dog that couldn't bark. Does it wail like a coyote, or does it just not make?
I think it's quiet. Doesn't it hunt like? It hunts cats.
Like rodents, I thought. I thought that's what they were for, but
okay. But yeah, I heard they were quiet dogs. That's why a lot of people get them.
Yeah, and so the mother Carolyn, when they got this dog, thought, "Hey, this is a special dog, and it needs a special name." And she named it Bathsheba in 1969.
Okay.
And Andrea was 10, and she's the one that wrote the books. So the name of the book is House of Darkness, House of Light. And this is volume one, and I think there's five of them.
There's at least three that I know of. I don't know about five, but three, yes.
It could be three. I think.
I can't back that up. But
I can't prove this. But
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Supposedly.
So she said special dog needs a special name and gave it that name. And then Andrea, she was 10 and she was super attached to this dog. So the girls were out taking this dog on a walk. And some local kids come flying by in a car, scares the dog, and the dog takes off running across the road. Andrea, she's like nervous. She's scared about her dog. So she calls for her dog to come back. It made it across the road fine, but whenever it started to head back to her, an elderly couple hit it with their car.
Stupid elderly people.
Well, it wasn't their fault. It was the leash, because the dog was dragging a leash and it got caught up in the tire.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Is this like two of Stephen King's books in one? Man. I got Cujo and Pet Sematary running all over here.
There's some Pet Sematary vibes here right at the beginning.
Okay.
But just, no, it was apparently pretty horrific, and the dog wasn't dead. It had just been whipped around because they weren't driving fast enough, but the leash did get caught up in the tire.
Fucking old people.
So the kids seen that, and then the cops show up, and they're told to go home. And while they're walking home, they hear two gun blasts.
Click, click, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jesus.
Somebody's floating with a bullet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice drop. Yep.
Yeah. So, that sucks.
That would fuck you up as a kid.
Yeah, that sucks hard. Yeah. Sucks really hard. But so the family's going to take a vacation after this. They need to get away. And I think people watch The Conjuring, where the picture that Lily Tyler is pointing at, and she's saying, this is what it's all about. This is the vacation. And I think that's where that came from, because like they took this vacation and everything was, it was doing good. Yeah. Then they come back home to find their home had been ransacked. Everything destroyed inside.
Neighbor kids did this shit, right?
Yeah, a neighbor kid. He was 12 years old, and him and some of his buddies went in there and just destroyed the place. Like took the meat out of the freezer and everything and threw it around just so Jesus it would Christ. Freaking be destroyed. They beat one of the cats to death with a ball bat. So I'm getting this out of the way, Beth. If you're listening to this episode, I'm trying to get all the hard stuff for you right out of the beginning. Just get it over with.
It's It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of the kids that lived in the neighborhood that came and said, no, it was that kid next door that instigated this. It was like he started it all. So Carolyn went over there to talk to the mother, and she was sticking up for the kid, saying, nah, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. But she seen him like peek out and look down the hall.
Yeah.
And she said he was covered in scratches like from a cat.
So a little shit.
Probably more than one.
And that kid turned out to be Jeffrey Dahmer. No, wait. No. Be a lot cooler if he did.
So one thing that did happen is Andrea did find him later. Like, she was plotting and waiting. So she found him when his parents weren't around, and she kicked the shit out of him.
And she wanted to kill him, right?
Yeah, she wanted to, but she was pulled off. Like, some people pulled her off the top of him. Like, she beat his fucking ass.
Good for her, man.
Sounds like something I would do.
So, Carolyn, hey, man, they killed your cat with a ball bat. I don't know if I want to hang out
in person, Lindy. I'm not
just don't sure hurt right. My animals. We'll be all right.
She'll make you sign a waiver, bro.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So Carolyn thinks, she's like, at this time, she's just like, the neighborhood's kind of gone to shit. You know, it's getting, I mean, you can't even leave and go on vacation, come home, your house is fucked. So
yeah, that's pretty bad.
She wants to get her kids out of this neighborhood. And from what Andrea writes in her books, it's almost like they were meant to go live in this house. Because Roger's out of town and Carolyn takes Andrea to a music lesson. Well, while she's waiting, she buys a paper and she starts reading the ads. Well, she finds this house for sale for $75,000. Comes with 200 acres. It's a 9-room farmhouse with a barn in Harrisville, Rhode Island.
Wait a minute. This sounds like how I moved into my house, but it was just less acreage.
Less acreage, man. That's a lot of acreage.
My dad just found something in the paper. He's like, he's bought it.
Well, she didn't even talk to Roger. She just went out to look at it. She had
sounds like something my wife would do. Yeah.
She had a family friend come over and watch her kids, took off to go check out this place, seen it, and just walked around it, just fell in love and wrote a check for $500, which was almost everything that they had in the bank.
Wow. So, and this is like equity, like earnest money, right?
Yeah. Yep. So Roger doesn't even know. He's out on the road working. His wife has just spent almost every penny that they have on this house that he knows nothing about. Jesus. So when he gets home, there's a bit of a talk.
I bet there was more than a little bit of a talk, yeah.
They have a conversation.
Might have been a loud one.
But she does take Roger and the kids out to see this house. And like Roger's looking around, you know, he's doing what I would do. Like when we were looking at houses, I was like, nah, we're not buying this house. That roof needs redone. I mean, that's going to be $10,000 right there. You know,
yeah.
So he goes walking out through the woods and finds a stream and just falls in love with the place. He's just like, nah.
Hey, he found his little getaway from all them women.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a place to go chill and maybe go fishing, whatever, you know? So their plan is to buy this place. Thing is, they don't have enough money. Even if they sell the house that they're living in, they still don't have enough money.
So they still have to find a way to get all the money.
Yeah, but they had people, a survey crew come back out through. Not that way, Todd. Not that way. So
the you got survey five crew, daughters, bro.
Fair enough.
I'm leaving that one alone. Yep. I'm moving right along.
All right. So survey crew comes back out and goes around the land. And it's not 200. It's only 190 acres.
Well, shit. That should knock it down a little bit, right?
It did. It did. And the guy that was Earl. Hang on just because I have to go back and forth here. Earl Kenyon was the guy that owned the place.
Right.
And he said, nope, I think your family deserves this house. I want your family to live here. So
he was apparently super nice to them, right?
Yeah. He said, I'll give you as much time as you need. And wow. Turns out that even though that ad was in the paper and she only found it by happenstance, no one else even called to check about this house. No one else came out to look at it. Nothing.
Wow. So yeah, it was like they were, it's like they were meant to be there.
Almost destined to be in this home.
Yeah.
Is that what we call foreshadowing?
I believe so.
And a little bit.
I didn't. I didn't.
We're gonna fuck your life up because we want you to live here.
Sounds good. I didn't hear you mention this, but I think also in the neighborhood they were currently living in, one of their other neighbors apparently had a heart attack in his truck and wrecked his truck right into their rock garden. And I guess one of those rocks looked like a tombstone.
Yeah. Yeah, I left that part out because I don't know how true that is. I mean, if he did wreck in the front yard, yeah, sure he did. But I don't know about the tombstone thing. I didn't know how true that was, so I didn't put it in there. Right.
We're good.
And it was one of those things where, like, after that, she was, the like, townspeople were calling her a witch and shit.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Turns out maybe she was.
I don't know. But it... It was 1971 when they moved into this house in Harrisville, Rhode Island. Roger Perrin, Carolyn Perrin, father and mother, oldest daughter, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April. And they were 12, 10, 9, 7, and 5.
That's a lot of hockey sticks, bro.
That's a lot of girls. In yeah. I mean, that's... there's not enough bathrooms. There is not enough bathrooms in that house. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how that works. I would be on the road too, even more so.
There's one female in my house and I get tired of her all the time. It's fine.
There's only one male in my house. I get fed up with that guy's bullshit too.
Right?
And that's just me.
So Earl Kenyon, like I said, was a guy that owned the house and he didn't want to move. I mean, he didn't really want to leave, but he was getting older. His wife had passed away, which she's buried next to this house, which after he leaves, I mean, he still comes back to visit the family and see right. his wife's grave and stuff like that.
Right.
But he didn't want to leave, but his son had built him a home in town because he wanted him to be closer to him.
That's a good son.
So they said that over the time, what was it, 5 months or 6 months or whatever that they were waiting, that they had come out and visited this house like numerous times. Nothing ever happened. There was nothing. It just seemed like a perfect place. And they said 5 minutes after they moved in, that shit started happening. It was almost like the ghost knew.
Trick them.
Right. It's like, oh, it's yours now? Come get it.
Come get some, huh?
Let's do this. Mm-hmm.
Who wants some? You want a little?
So in the movie when they move in, they did say it right because they said there was a bunch of they pulled in a vehicle. There were a bunch of moving trucks, a bunch of people helping them move stuff in. So, but
they didn't say that was in the
winter
movie,
storm.
It's summertime when they move in the movie.
In the movie,
it's yeah, a fucking in the
it's
middle
an ice
of,
storm.
Yeah,
yeah. So Andrea, she's coming into the house with a box that's marked kitchen. And she knows, yeah, I'm going to take this box to the kitchen, come out and get more stuff because they're trying to get the stuff done as fast as they can. And she says she walks through and Mr. Kenyon is in the kitchen, or he's in the dining room loading up a box. It's like one of his last boxes. She sees an oddly dressed man in the corner of the room and says hi to him, but the guy doesn't respond to her. She just says, hi. He doesn't say anything. She said he was just looking at Mr. Kenyon, so she just walked on by. So she went into the kitchen and asked her mom who the man was. Her mom said there's no one else in there. She says, she like walks in and looks. She's like, this is Mr. Kenyon. He's just packing up his stuff. Christine walks through and she sees a man and she comes in and says, Mom, who's that guy in the kitchen? And her mom's like, there's no one in the kitchen. It's just Mr. King. Cindy sees him too. And then Nancy said by the time that she had seen him, he wasn't like a full, like.
He wasn't solid, right? Yeah. She could like see through him.
From the first girl that came in said it looked like an absolute man, and then it got down to the two younger daughters, and then the one said you could almost see through him, and the next one said he just vanished while she was looking at him.
What's the punchline to this joke?
There isn't one. I wish there was.
Peekaboo! see you!
Just knock, knock. Shit.
I wish there was. And this is not in chronological order because I watched so many interviews with this lady that would tell the stories, and the stories seemed to stay the same, but they were never in the same order. So she was more or less just recounting whatever popped into her head at the time.
Right, but I think she said that this was the first experience.
Yeah, that one, this one. Yeah, this is the one that was the absolute first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think I watched like 8 or 9 different Come At Me ghost shows. About
she's
this.
On a bunch.
Yeah, and she's on several of them. Yeah. Yeah.
So their dad was in there offering Earl because he's in there packing up his last box. And they know he doesn't want to leave. They know he doesn't want to move in town. They know he likes where he's living. So that Roger's offering him, hey, man, plenty of room here. There's plenty of room here. You can have a room here. I wouldn't mind a little more testosterone in this house. I don't know if he said that, but he was,
you can help me wrangle all these women because goddamn, yeah. I got my hands full.
So the girls said that while he was doing that the man just was like manifested in the corner, but nobody else could see it, so they didn't bring it up and they didn't talk about it.
That's weird.
Yeah. And then Mr. Kenyon said to him as he was leaving, keep the lights on at night. Which for the sake odd, of huh? your family.
Yeah.
How do you want to move into a house and the guy that's leaving goes, oh, by the way, lights on at night for the sake the of your on. Family.
And don't feed them after midnight. Yeah. Don't get them wet.
Don't get them wet. Motel 6, this motherfucker. Leave lights on.
Yeah.
But the dad thought, Roger thought it was like, well, yeah, because there's stairs. He doesn't want my girls to fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
I would have been like, what do you mean? Hey, where the fuck are you going? Get back here right now. Son of a bitch. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe we need an old priest, a young priest.
So yeah, once again, Earl would come by often to see the family while he was visiting his wife's grave. And Carol asked Earl at one point about the noises she was hearing in the house, because they said it was like as soon as they moved in, it was like nothing but noises, clocks stopping, things happening to the kids, but they don't bring it up until later to Carolyn. But Earl just says, swells in the chimney, my dear. Swells in the chimney.
That's good. I have to remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it? Is it, though? Yeah, leave the lights on for the swallows in the chimney.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think after seeing the guy, like, go from solid to, like, you know, see-through to disappearing, I'd be like, yeah, we're going to put this house on the market. We're fucking out of here.
Yeah, but what's weird is that the parents didn't see it. It was only the kids. So if you're a kid and you walk through there and you just see somebody standing there and your mom says there's nobody in there, you're going to be like, okay, well, maybe there's nobody in there. If you're the one that's seen it disappear and your mom's like, oh, there's nobody in there, but they got younger as they came through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you probably just push that out of your head.
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know. I never had anything like that. But Cindy wakes up in the middle of the night one night. She goes to her oldest sister's, Andrea's room. She wants to sleep with her because she says she kept hearing voices all night long. And apparently through the 10 years that they lived there, they
was he like in German, like, hey, little girl, what are you doing?
I don't you think want to play?
Maybe we
would
can
you
do
like
some hopscotch?
To do some Rammstein and jump on the bed, set the house on fire.
Now's the time on Sprockets when we dance.
Now is the time on Sprockets when we dance.
No. They said there were 7 dead soldiers in the walls.
Ooh.
Oh.
Over and over but and did, over.
But
and
Matt, did
over.
They say in the German accent like,
there are 7 dead soldiers in the walls?
That's exactly what it was, I think. I think he nailed it.
Okay.
It's a blitzkrieg.
Okay.
As
okay.
unfunny okay. as that is. Okay.
That, all right. We got to stomp that shit out.
So here comes to more tropes from other horror movies. It's like Carolyn was always cold. And for some reason, Earl, that had owned the house before, had boarded up all the fireplaces. I don't know if
Must have been because of all them damn swallows.
Yeah. Her
swallows getting in?
Yeah.
Whatever. But she finally does bust one of them and starts a fire, and she's like obsessed with the fire. Now, does that remind you of any other movie that you
Yeah, I think
Todd? Just... The Amityville Horror, where he's obsessed with the fire and keeping the logs on there. That scared the shit out of you when he was a kid. You don't want to talk about it. Okay. So there were noises, doors opening. The animals wouldn't go into certain rooms. There was even sometimes where Roger would lay down like a raw piece of meat into a room to try to get the dog to come down the hallway, and it wouldn't.
Wouldn't even go down the... Damn.
I'm like, man.
That's either a well-trained dog or dog that's scared to death.
First of all, I'm washing that steak and cooking it and eating it, and then we're leaving.
Yeah, you gotta let it sit. You gotta let it sit on the floor, though, and like, you know, tenderize room temperature shit, and then you can rinse it off in lukewarm
water. Salt and pepper heavily.
Salt it. Yeah, salt it.
Cook 1 minute on each side, flip four times, down the hatch.
Add some mashed taters, and now we're talking.
But they said that things would come up missing. Okay. Here's, okay. They said that some of the girls would get, like, kissed at night, like, when they were going to bed, and they thought it was their mom, but it wasn't. Like, they were just getting, like, kisses on their foreheads at night.
I'm trying then, to remember. Okay, so they knew it wasn't their mom because their mom smelled like ivory soap, and this...
And this one smelled like flowers and fruit, or... Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So...
I'd just like to point out, I was not born at this point.
Okay. What?
Todd's not taking responsibility.
Hey, last time I checked, you don't smell like flowers and fruit, so you're in the clear.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. But here's another thing. Clothes would come up missing.
What? It's getting hot.
Okay. So let me tell you something.
No.
Five girls, clothes come up missing. I only have two.
Check the other one's closet.
That's a daily occurrence.
So. They said it would show up on the other girl's bed. The other girl's like, I swear I didn't take it.
Yeah, I've heard that one a million times too. I swear I didn't take it. I swear I didn't do it.
My wife can't find clothes because they're always in Kimber's room because she comes and takes them. Now she's taking my t-shirts because you've gotten so tall that I lost my NASA shirt. I lost my Green Lantern shirt.
I'm in the same boat, man. I'm looking for all my cool shit, and my kid's stolen it all. So
my daughter's walking around. It's like what she wears to bed. So she's up in the morning walking around. She's got a shirt on. And I'm like,
minus 28. Why do you have my NASA shirt? She still steals my t-shirt. So
really?
Yeah, it'll never end.
Yeah.
Other things they went through was like the clocks would stop. Now, I know the movie said 5:15 because that happened at least at one point later on. I'll get to that. Something happened at 5:15, but
they said three.
No, 5:15. But they said the clocks would stop all the time. They would just stop at certain times and then work later. And
Andrea, is that right? Andrea?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't she say in the book that her dad just thought, like, well, the wall must not be level because it was an old, old wind-up clock. And, you know,
he tried moving it around.
Yeah, he moved it on several different walls, and he finally just gave up, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they even said that their beds were shaking in the middle of the night, and things would be moved, like their beds would be moved. Like, they'd wake up, and their bed wasn't where it was at when they went to bed. They would later on get tossed out of beds, even.
Yeah, that's
while they were sleeping.
I'm not going to deal with any of that paranormal activity bullshit. I'm out. I'd be like, I'm going to go sleep in the barn. See y'all.
I mean, I get the whole you don't have money thing.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm letting my kids be in that situation. I'm like, we're gone. We're going. I don't care. We'll go to mom and dad's. They won't care either.
Like, nice
I'm not going to have you.
Motel 6 or something. Yeah.
Anything. Once again, leave the light on. But Roger,
we'll leave the light on for you.
Roger becomes obsessed with killing flies. Once again, back to the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Flies. And so many, there's been so many movies that have copied that kind of shit. So I don't know if that's...
It's like a demonic thing, isn't it? Like demonic possession. Isn't that a sign of like the flies gathering and then you get the smell of rotting meat and...
Yeah, and we're gonna get into the things at the end of this where it's like her mom was never actually possessed. she was just run down by this thing. Like
it wanted her, and it was working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It took its toll on her. So one day Cindy's running late for school. Like they're all, it's like her books are sitting on the staircase and they're eating breakfast or something. The bus comes. So Cindy runs, oh shit. Yeah. Gotta go get my books. Goes get your books. And then there was like a, it was like a mist of some kind, like a dark mist. But she actually like just travels through, trying to get to the bus, trying to get back with her sisters. No one else sees this. It's just she told her sisters about it later, and it was like the smell of rotting meat. And apparently, like she went to school and just fell asleep. Like she'd fall asleep in every class, and she slept for like 2 days after that thing.
Whoa. Hmm.
So they started the, well, I added this. They started the buddy system because that's what we called it in the Boy Scouts when you're in the pool. You do the two friends, so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're out, you're out. You got to. So the, every time the girls would leave a room, they made sure they were with another sister. You got to go to the bathroom, you go together, which girls do anyway for some reason.
And some weird reason. I don't. Do they hold hands, Lindy? Is that what it is? Like when you pee, it's like.
What goes on in there?
Yeah. What's going on?
You have to ask a girl who actually does stupid shit like that, because
I'll find one.
But yeah, I'm not one of those. That's my time. Get the fuck away from me.
I'm trying to drop a deuce in here, bitch. Leave me alone.
They hold hands under the partition, and it's like one of those old motivational posters. Is it teamwork?
We'll get through this. Is it Austin Powers?
Don't power push. Through this. Don't push. It's not good for you.
Do you want hemorrhoids?
Pop an O-ring.
Yeah, don't pop an O-ring.
Up on the tippy toes. Get the knees up.
How about a courtesy flush over there? Still in the room.
Maybe two even, huh?
You show that turd who's boss. Okay, I'm in the courts.
You stupid piece of shit. Get out of here.
Maybe it's for pep talk. I would imagine it's so that one can go to the bathroom while the other one fixes their makeup.
I always thought they were doing blow.
That would make more sense to me.
That would make a lot more sense.
God damn. I said, God damn.
That was a good bathroom break. Let's get back out there.
Say what one more time, Todd.
Let's get back out there and have some whatever the fuck you drink. Whatever the seltzers.
Okay. My favorite line from Todd ever is, was that you?
What had happened that made that your favorite line? Well, you can't drop that shit and then have us ignore it. Okay, okay.
This goes back to the doll.
Oh.
Love you, Todd. Okay.
Andrea, she wanted to be a teacher. Like, that was her goal. Like, that was the thing she was set up to do. There we go. So they would play school even when they were home from school.
Oh, wow.
Because they had this gigantic oak slate chalkboard that they would do school on. So this is when the buddy system happened, because they would say that whenever they would leave this room and come back, the chalkboard would be moved, or it'd be erased, like the things that they had wrote on it.
Okay.
So eventually, I think, I can't remember because it's been so long since I wrote this part, but I think they moved the chalkboard out of the house, maybe to like the garage. Or something like that, because every time it was getting moved or erased and it was scaring them. So, but one day the dad comes in there and the fucking thing's just shattered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like just it's in splinters, like shards of
like chalkboard and like a hammer to it and just went to town.
Definitely not something the girls were going to be able to do.
Right.
So I was like, okay, he didn't.
Goddamn sparrows.
Yeah, sparrows in the chimney, babe. That's all of this. Just sparrows in the chimney.
Sparrows can do that. I'm afraid of sparrows.
Hey, man, I've seen the birds. I know what's up.
That's fair. I actually just watched that last weekend again.
Great, great film. Love it.
I had an Alfred Hitchcock weekend. So.
I have issues with that movie, too, but we won't get into that now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many ripoffs of Rear Window.
Yeah.
So Roger, seeing this, wasn't mad at any of the girls because he goes, there's no way they did this. It's like, this thing is so damn heavy. There's no way any of these girls were ever able to, I guess it was thrown like 20 foot across the room. I don't know how they knew that from where it was at. Who cares? She's writing a book. I'll believe her. Fair enough. But it was like shattered once again. Should be. And then, so Roger just stays in disbelief, even though his wife's telling him these things. His kids aren't, but she is. She's actually telling him that the kids are saying some things, but he's just saying, no,
he's going, and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Even though he's running into stuff that he can't explain either, but you know, he's a man. He's like, nah,
must be the goddamn sparrows.
You wanted this goddamn house.
You wanted this house. You live in it. Damn it, I got to get back out on the road because this is scary as fuck to stay here. I can't sleep at night.
This is during, by the way, this is during a serious fucking recession. And there's no, they were fucking losing their ass by the day for what they paid for it versus what it was worth at this
point. Yeah. Even when they bought it, it was a low price, but it was a super high price by the time this stuff comes around. It took like a year, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the bottom to drop out, which happens. Yeah.
So they're fucked. They're stuck. Yeah.
And Carolyn gets...
Papa fucked.
Carolyn gets the brunt of most of the things that happen. Like, she goes out into this barn, which wasn't in the movie. They didn't show the barn in the movie. It was just like a house. And the house wasn't even remotely close to what the actual house looked like. But a thing I did hear about the house is that, like, it survived like a tornado hurricane situation.
Two hurricanes.
Two of them? Was it two hurricanes? One tornado,
and then it was built prior to the Civil War.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I'm not sure about what year was it born? Or was born, built? It was, I thought it was like the 1600s, but I could be wrong. Early
1736.
So this is prior to the Revolutionary War. So you probably have Revolutionary War activity going on. So it went through all that shit too.
So this isn't scary. This isn't crazy. I just thought it was super interesting. The reason why that house or that barn made it through it is because the people that built it were boat makers that used boat parts and built it like they would a boat so that it could take adjustments.
Yeah, and it would yeah.
It's shipping.
That's
probably Amish.
That was it. I'll tell you what about this whole story. I heard that. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I wanted to look into that even more. I was like, it was fine, but I was like, what is this boat building thing?
It's a boat barn.
It's where you put your boat, boy.
But, okay, so Carolyn goes out into the barn for some reason. And there is a sigh that is hanging up in the rafters. Now, why would you have a hot sigh hanging up in the rafters where you couldn't even get to it? Well, you wouldn't. But if you don't know what a sigh is, I'm not talking about the big old sickle like freaking Death would use. I'm talking like Children of the Corn. Think Children of the Corn, what they're holding.
Single-handled, yeah.
Russian flag, whatever. And she says she's getting ready to leave, and she hears a noise in the air. And she turns around and looks, and the thing's like spinning in the air by itself. And then it comes down, flies at her, and like cuts at her.
Whoa.
So she thinks she's fucked. But since she's so cold all the time, and it was cold outside anyway, she had all these layers of clothes on, and all it did was cut the clothing. Like, I guess it destroyed the jacket, but it didn't cut her. Like, she had no wounds. She picks the sigh up, hangs it on a nail, and walks out.
Okay, that's not my response to that kind of
thing. No. And that wasn't the worst either. So
that's some, like, Freddy Krueger wake me up bullshit right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Carolyn was woke in the middle of the night, thinking one of her children that came into the room. But it wasn't. It was like the figure of a woman, kind of, with like the way she described it. Because in the book, like the description that goes on for a long time, I'm going to go ahead and skirt some of that shit. It was like a broken neck woman, like her head hanging off to the side like this. But it wasn't even actually a head. It was more like a hornet's nest. And it didn't have eyes. It didn't have a mouth. and the neck was hanging over to the side. Didn't have feet. It didn't have hands, but it was hanging there by her, like coming at her. So she's trying to wake up Roger. So I'm thinking sleep paralysis, right?
Right.
Like she can't move. She can't do anything. So like she's suspended there, but she said it smelled like rotten flesh. And so she's trying to claw. She's trying to claw at her husband with her feet, like trying to get him to wake up. And so when it's just about to her, when she thinks it's just about time, she says, "God help me." And the thing left.
Yeah. And that's when she packed her shit up and left, right?
No. Many, many more years of living.
And they still have like 8 years left in this house, I think.
She said it was a green handmade dress. It had no eyes, a broken neck. And there was actually a documentary that I watched about people going in there to like stay the night in that house where they had found like old pictures that the kids had drawn of a broken neck lady. And then there was even a thing in the basement where it was drawn. So if this is done after the fact, probably, but who knows? I seen it. So fucking
whatever. It's still creepy as fuck.
Yeah. Still damn. Yeah. The broken neck lady. That's crazy.
Yeah. Broken necks kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yep. So all the girls got together, like all the daughters got together, except for April, the youngest one. And they sat down with their mom and told them about all the shit that they were going through, like all the things that were happening to them. So the mom kind of held back the shit was happening to her. And she just basically listened to her kids, which is pretty crazy. But I mean, that's what she did. She just sat back and listened. And then she tried to explain it to Roger, but he wasn't
having any of that, right?
Yeah, he didn't. I think he didn't want to believe it. I think he actually believed it, but he was like, no, I've got to be the one here that.
What a fucking Scully.
That's not falling.
What a bitch.
So we go into Bathsheba Sherman.
Great pantsuits.
Enough said.
We go into Bathsheba Sherman, who was blamed for a lot of this. This happenings, and then I'm gonna get you guys' opinion here. And just
wait, you mean the dog?
No. This is an actual woman who lived, and apparently a child in her care died. And they said that the reason for the child's death was a sewing needle to the back of its skull, but they didn't have enough evidence to lock her up.
Was it like a freak sewing accident, or?
No, it never happened anyway. There's nothing to back that up. There isn't one newspaper article. There's nothing to back that up, but that's what they said. And then,
well, depending on how old the child was,
the soft spot. You're talking about the soft spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was at the back. It was like at the base of the neck, like spinal cord. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We learned all about the soft spot. Lindy taught us all about how you can,
pin a baby.
Yeah. thanks to good old Nanny. Nanny Dog.
Nanny Dog. Todd. Yeah. Todd. He tried so hard to keep that in.
So there was an incident where Carolyn was laying on the couch and she feels like a sting in the back of her leg. And she thinks, hornet. No. See, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, this doesn't make sense afterwards. But she gets up looking for it and then she finds out, like, there's nothing there. She like cleans everything up and she finds out how big the hole is. They said it was about the size of a large sewing needle, which what size hornet would have done that to you? You definitely would have been able to find it.
A fucking giant,
right?
African.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd been like a monster.
That's a corpse fly bite, not a
definitely not a European.
It's a European swallow? Or?
I thought they were European spits, not European swallows. I don't know. Spits, swallows, doesn't matter.
What's your name? Well, which one is it?
Okay.
So Carolyn had just been, this house was draining her. Like her daughter said that when she moved in there, she was only like 28 years old, the mother. And she said she was gorgeous. And by the time they left after 10 years, she had lost so much weight and just aged so much from like stress and shit that they were going through that she said it was just awful.
Yeah, I mean, raising five kids would be awful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In that situation. So here's some shit that came up on the side that I had seen. There was a Mrs. Arnold that was 93, was said to have hanged herself. And she didn't. Apparently it was another Mrs. Arnold that was in her 50s that hanged herself, but it wasn't even on the same property.
It was several miles down the road, but they were related, right?
Yes.
Yep. And I don't know if you mentioned this before or not, but the gentleman that they bought the house from, he was like the last remaining member of the original family that owned the home, that built the home.
The Arnolds.
Yeah. The Arnold family, yeah.
Right. I think that's why he didn't want to leave.
Yeah. So
I'm wondering if that apparition that the kids seen was maybe his grandpa. Or something like that, because they said he seemed like a nice man. He looked like a nice man, had a little smirk on his face. I think maybe he was watching his grandson going,
"All right, here you go, grandson, buddy. See you later." Yeah,
maybe something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was a John Arnold that committed suicide as well, but it said that happened on another property too.
That was guy that had
drank some kind of poison.
Like basically, it was like rat poison, I think, something with
arsenic
in it. And that was just because he had cancer and he was dying anyway, and he was in a lot of pain.
And he was just ready to be done with it.
Yep.
So here's the Ed and Lorraine. So we'll get into this. And I'm going to turn it over to you guys. What are your guys' thoughts about Ed and Lorraine Warren?
I think they're fucking lying douchebags.
Don't agree more. Lindy.
Also lying douchebags.
Could not agree more. Todd.
Hopefully they made a lot of money.
They certainly did.
They did.
Good job. Found a niche. Made some money. Good business plan.
Okay, so here's the thing that Andrea says. The Warrens. Okay, hang on. I'm going to flip back. Because like I said, I had to go back and forth with this so much. They only made about five trips to this house over about a year and a half period. And then Lorraine did make a sixth trip just to see if the mother was still alive. I mean, that's how bad it got. So they said that after they showed up, shit got so much worse.
I blame the Warrens.
Yes, because they were doing seances and stuff, and you know they were like, okay, shit is happening here. Let's push this to the fucking limit to get some evidence, and we'll make some money on this.
Yeah, because they were bringing
family. Mm-hmm. They weren't there to help. They were there to make a buck and get some proof.
Because when they showed up with an audio crew, a video crew. Yeah,
love the movies, but I think those people in real life, Ed, I think he was a bit of a piece of shit.
No, I think Lorraine may have been a little bit of a clairvoyant. I think
maybe she might have been, but Ed was just using it, man.
Yeah, Ed was just capitalizing on it.
Yeah, he was just a fucking douchebag.
So it was said that, supposedly. And that's all the farther I'll get into those two. If we want to do an episode one of these days, you guys will have to do it, and you'll just listen to me yell.
I'm all about that.
The youngest daughter, April, apparently had a friend since most of the girls were going to school, and she would be home with her mom. And her mom was always messing with the fire or cold or, you know, so she'd be in a room playing. And apparently she had an imaginary friend, a young boy that would come play with her. She didn't tell any of her sisters about it. She didn't tell her mom about it. She didn't tell Ed and Lorraine about it because she was afraid they'd make him go away. Mm-hmm. So no one knew about this until years after they had moved out and they were all grown up, where she finally told them that, hey, you know, I had an imaginary friend whenever I lived in that house. I just didn't tell anybody about it.
An imaginary friend who probably wasn't imaginary.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. But in the 1980s, they sold the house and moved to Georgia, because that's where the devil goes, down to Georgia. And Norma Sutcliffe.
Wait a minute. I thought Ben Franklin was in Philadelphia. Wait a minute. What's going on?
There's so many devils.
Thank you.
I did it, Lindy. I did it.
So many devils.
Yes. But as we learned with Salem, Benjamin can project himself to other places.
There you go.
So.
Just like the Bell Witch. Yep. He's all over the place. So Norma Sutcliffe bought the house and lived in it and said, okay, so here's two things that I had seen with it. People talking about her said She says there's been almost nothing that happened. She's heard a couple bumps or steps or whatever.
You mean the swallows?
Seen like a couple lights. Okay. But then I seen other interviews with her where she was saying, there's nothing going on here. There's nothing to see. Nothing's ever happened. Well, that's after The Conjuring was released because all those people were showing up and be like, let me in your house. I want to fucking get in there. Do some work. I'll take some videos and shit. So she, so if that's true, I don't know. But that's about what I got on The Conjuring.
You forgot about the part where Lorraine and
I told you I was only going to put a little bit of them in there because okay. I thought we'd tackle that at some time later.
When they made things worse.
Yes, they did.
Let's just say that the husband ended up punching.
He punched Ed in the face. He knocked him out.
And told him he could get the fuck out and never
come back. On the last day they were there because he knew what they were doing.
See, it was like, that, I wanted to put that part in there because that was...
See, I should have done that and I forgot about it. Yeah, you're right. Because it was like they came back for that one night and then like Ed, people said that he was allowed to do exorcisms, but then I heard he wasn't and then I heard he was, but I heard she wasn't possessed in the first place, but whatever it was, after his wife was fine, he just decked fucking Ed and dropped his ass.
Yeah, well...
And then he threw him out of the house.
Yeah, and said don't fucking come back. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess that was Lorraine, like one of her things. That's she came back to visit.
Yeah,
the and oldest daughter.
Somehow even after they moved, because they moved to Tennessee after that, right?
No, what did I say? They moved to
Georgia.
Georgia. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, she tracked them down somehow, and she offered them a shitload of money for their story, like life changing sum of money. And the mother just said, just fucking leave me alone. I don't ever just leave my family alone.
Much different than the Amityville Horror where those people were in on it, but they still didn't get paid like the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah, they got fucked. Yeah.
And they got raped hard.
Yeah.
That dude made a mint and they made shit.
Didn't make shit. Didn't make just for shit.
Shits and giggles. The distance between Amityville and this place in Rhode Island is roughly about 185 miles.
Yep.
So either ghosts have a 200 mile radius, or there's a lot of shady people in that 200 mile radius.
Well, that's where, I think it's just a lot of history.
I don't even know because like when we did the Bell Witch, she flew from, she told that guy that she was going to go to England to talk to his parents and then came back like it was like in minutes.
Yeah.
And then he was confirmed later with a phone call. If it's true.
That's a witch, not a ghost.
Well, she was a ghost too. Ghost witch.
Bell Witch was a ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a witch.
Witch ghost.
Not just dead people from 100,000 years of property. She was a witch. There's a distinction. Okay,
so you think
don't fuck with witches.
Do you think most ghosts are stuck to where they
but you can burn through the ditches?
No.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think they're stuck where they're at either.
I think they attach to specific people.
You give them an in, maybe they'll take it. Maybe you mm-hmm. didn't even mean to give them an in and they take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, could be. Maybe. Could be. Mm-hmm.
So on that note, I had an occurrence with the doll.
Yes, Todd had an occurrence with the doll.
Are you fucking kidding me?
We were
jerking me off, Todd.
We were moving her.
My child.
Child slash whatever.
Right.
Yeah. To her niece. Place. And we were taking stuff out of Lindy's car and putting it in my van. Because I was just going to take the van down with all this stuff and get dinner from mall, whatever. And she grabs a bag and she's like, oh, chuckling.
Look, it's the doll.
Look, it's the doll. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. I think she's fucking with me just to poke at me, right?
Oh, right, right, yeah.
I'm oblivious to the fact that the doll is actually now in my van. We drive down there. Now, mind you, being the smart old guy I am, I'm letting all the young people haul all the stuff, and I'm standing with the vehicle out there because I'm parked in a no parking zone, and well you played. Come get your shit, go back in, right?
Right.
Well played.
Belle comes out grabs the stuff. We're kind of chatting, and I hear this noise. And it, to me, sounds like somebody's goofy fucking ringtone they made, right? And I'm like feeling around like, oh, well, my phone's still up there. That's not my ringtone. And I look at Belle and I'm like, is that you? And she just sits there staring at me, smiling. And I'm like, what? And she goes, it's the, and I said, if you take it out of the fucking bag.
Yeah.
And she just is laughing. And I'm like, now I am like, you know, it's attached in my van. I was with this thing. Fuck you. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. She walks off. They're all laughing and everything, right? I get home. I drop Lindy up. I get home that night. And I swear to fucking God. Shut the van off. Nothing's going on. I have a dome light on. But mind you, all the dome lights in my van are fucking off. When you open the door, nothing fucking lights up. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I open the door and a fucking dome light goes on. And I'm like, fuck you. I didn't even try to turn it off. Slam the fucking door. Walk in the house. And I'm fucking pissed. Because I'm like, you motherfuckers. Now, mind you, I know, you know, it's only going to stay on for so long. It's going to auto shut off. Fucking blah, blah, blah. But when I went back out the next day and start the van, fucking, I completely forgotten about it. Get home, whatever, it's dark, you know. It never went on. I never turned it off. Nothing. But since Lindy brought it up, yes. Was that you? No, it was not. It was the doll. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that shit in my life.
Yep.
I get it.
As soon as you turned around and seen her smile and she knew what the noise was.
She did too. She just deadpan looked at him.
I love that she's not scared of it, but I love that everybody else is.
Oh, I flat out told her.
She's not scared of it at all.
She has a taser. And I told her.
What's that
going to
do, though?
You're out. No, well, I'm just saying. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling Belle, listen, when you go out and about in public doing your thing, just bring the doll with you. Okay? You don't need any protection. You don't need a gun. You don't need a taser. And fucking Belle looks right at me and goes, well, then who's going to protect the house while I'm gone?
Fair enough.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah, somebody breaks in, they're going
to
be like,
who the fuck needs to protect their house? With a fucking crazy doll. And that's how she thinks of this thing. And I'm just like, y'all just.
It's her version of an 870.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, the look on her face. Because Talon and I are walking out of the apartment complex at the same time that this is happening. Like, Bella just walked over to grab the last of the bags and stuff. And she deadpan looks at Todd and says, no, and she didn't even have the bag in her hand yet. She grabs the bag and pulls it to her.
Slowly, like.
And then she just busts up laughing. And I'm like, Todd's got this look of, I'm going to fucking kill you, Lindy. Go fuck yourself. I thought you were fucking kidding. I didn't realize he thought I was kidding when I said, oh, shit, it's the doll. It did not make a sound. It's been in the van for 2 hours. Didn't make a sound. Didn't anything. As soon as Belle walks out and sees the bag, it makes the noise. She didn't even have her hands on the bag yet. Hadn't lifted it. Hadn't moved it from where we put it in the van. Nothing. So it was like, hey, you're here. I'm going to greet you.
Yeah,
so,
oh, by the way, it doesn't have any batteries, happens. Right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even work on batteries.
We it took us a little while to figure that out. And it was like, no, not even batteries. You just squish it. Okay.
Yeah, so you just squish it.
And it's making noise. Okay.
Nope. Didn't move at all. It's just sitting in the top of this bag. So there's no pressure on this doll at all. Great. And it just goes off. And yeah, so Todd has had an actual encounter with the doll.
Testicles, wallet, watch.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing. That was awesome.
Man, this was fun. I liked getting into this a little bit because it's it's like the movie, what the movie did, so good. What really happened, a bit different.
Yeah.
How much is true? Fuck, I don't know. I liked learning about it and looking into it and stuff like that. And I do like the fact that Zach, you were right. I shouldn't have left that part out. And I had that wrote down, and then
it's
I good,
man. I was just like, that was my favorite part of this whole fucking story. Yeah. I didn't know that before. I was like, fuck yeah.
I had that wrote down and went around it
with the Warrens, I think. So
yeah, I wish somebody was running the camera.
We'll bring it back up. Trust me. I want to highlight that again. I'm just like, put that back in slow-mo and just repeat it four or five times.
It's like, I want to see ghost footage almost as bad as I want to see Roger knock the fuck out of him. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
You did this to my wife, you fucking asshole. Fuck, bam.
Yep. Deserve this and more, you dipshit.
Yeah.
And then the difference between the movie and the... Andrea brought up something, the dog thing, like at the beginning of the movie where the dog dies. She said they didn't know about the Bathsheba dog getting killed. She said that they didn't know about that, but yeah, they still put it in the beginning of the movie. I'm like, well, that's not, I mean, that's to reel you in. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of movies that have done that. It's like, you're going to pull at somebody's heartstrings when you're like, well, this family is so attached to this dog and this dog dies. So you're automatically,
yeah,
I'm feeling for this family already. That's just a good way to lure you in immediately. Yeah. So that's probably why they did it. But she thought it was because they knew. But
no, it was a fun ride. Thanks, mm-hmm. I appreciate it. You should do the Exorcist movie versus the real event.
That was a little boy, not a little girl, and it was in St. Louis and not in California or wherever they were. I think they were in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I will not be able to chime in on that one.
I've actually been I've been to a wedding in the church that some of those exorcism sessions took place.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. See, I could do that. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing that. That sounds like fun too.
So,
It doesn't sound like fun, but
hey man, I mean, green pea soup vomit. What's not fun about that?
Right.
You know,
I can sit here and watch. I can show pictures of my Linda Blair costume, but you can't chime in.
Seen the movie.
Seen the movie.
I sent you the link.
You did send me the link.
Wendy, do not hesitate when you say shit about, I could show you pictures of.
Yeah, you gotta pick that up a little bit. Yeah,
way too much time for me to be like.
Exactly. That's how we get listeners, Todd.
There's no build up, and we try to make some
team player. There we go.
Okay, I just want to say this so it's going to go out to everybody.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
They started this podcast, and I jumped in for my first one was the Halloween movie thing, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I had made fun of them when they did their first cryptids and all that stuff. I was like, what is this, like Harry Potter and Hogwarts and blah, blah, blah.
Now that's one of the most listened to episodes, by the way.
They had built and then it just... escalated. The ratings were going up, people, followers, everything. And then I came on and shit dumped.
Yeah, but we're not.
I'm like, well, okay, maybe you guys should just do some shit without me.
Nah, man. Seasons change, dude.
Seasons change, but I don't.
No, I mean, I don't either. But
I just always thought that was funny because Zach's like, no, man, we're doing great. We're getting all these followers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and then you
wait till the winter rolls back around. Wait till winter rolls back around. We'll get more.
Not worried about that. And that's Matt's department. Matt's the one that's like, hey guys, be sure and like, rate, and review the podcast.
By the way, fucking do it. Super simple. Fucking
do it.
It's easy.
Then why does Zach always say it?
Because I always
I get angry.
Yeah, and
he doesn't want me to get angry.
If I let him do it, it'll be an hour long rant. I don't want to edit that shit out.
He wouldn't like me if I'm angry, Don.
On that note, let's wrap this up. Guys, thanks for hanging out. Once again, this is Zach. Joining me always is
Smart.
Wendy.
And tonight, special guest. That one dude. Thanks for hanging out.
Look at us on that screen. It's so fucking cool. We're like the fucking Brady Bunch from hell.
Yet again, they traded out the kids on National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah. All right, like guys.
The Addams Family meets the Brady Bunch.
We will see you guys next Tuesday. Until then, later.
Later.
Bye.
Yeah, I love you. Bye-bye.
They're
coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.